This is the Gas House Gang on 104.1 FM KMOX. Sponsored by Saliga Heating and Cooling, a Daikin Comfort dealer. Now, the Gas House Gang on KMOX.
It is the final Friday before we get to Christmas, and you are locked in to the Gas House Gang, sponsored by Saliga Heating and Cooling, SaligaHeatingandCooling.com, alongside of Bernie Miklas. I'm Matt Pauly. Bernie and I are just like taking over the station today because he and I are going to be back together for Rush Hour Sports tonight during the 5 o'clock hour. But Bernie, always love working with you, seeing you, talking to you. How are you today?
I'm doing good. I think I got my first cold in about 2 years, but... So I'm being a little baby. I'm kind of sniffling and coughing and, like whining to my wife. You know how it is. So
that's a pretty good run, though. 2 years without a cold?
Yeah. I'm a big baby. So what can I say? Anyway.
See,
no, I'm doing great.
I have two kids, small kids at home. I have a wife that has a couple jobs. She works at an elementary school, and she works doing stuff at hospitals. So if there is any sickness in this world, it comes to me. I cannot stay away from it.
Well, I would think your immune system should be getting stronger, though. You know, it's building up some resistance or something.
It should be.
Yeah.
Right. We've got a lot coming up on the program today. Our good friend Danny Wexelman is going to join us at about 12:30. Bernie, I've been thinking about something for a while. I'm so glad I'm talking to you because you get to explain something to me today and tell me if I am incorrect on something. All right, so yesterday the announcement is officially made, and we get introduced to Dustin May. Blatant programming note tonight during the countdown to opening day show. I've got a one-on-one conversation with Dustin May, so make sure to be tuned in for that. But Heim Bloom yesterday on the Zoom call says that they're still looking for veteran starting pitching, basically. And then there's multiple reports coming out on social media that they would like a veteran innings eater. I start doing a little bit of math, Bernie, and that's always a dangerous scenario. But this is the way I view the starting rotation for the Cardinals going into the year. You have three definites in May, Liberatore, McGreevy. Mm-hmm. You have one probably in Fitz.
Right.
And then as it sits right now, that final spot is somewhere between Leahy, Pallante, and Matthews. So whether you want to put Fitz into that group saying 4-for-2 or if you want to say 3-for-1, that's where it's kind of at right now, I think. If you add another veteran starting pitcher, I don't see where the real competition is and where the real opportunities are. I know there's going to be injuries. I know they want depth. I know all these things, but I just find it curious. It seems like it's kind of in a good spot right now, and another starting pitcher could make things very interesting.
Yeah, I think they could use another one, but to your point, if they're going to call, if there are any plans or at least the thought that Quinn Matthews will be with them relatively early in the season, then maybe you hold off on getting a veteran pitcher. You know, maybe you see if he can, once he gets up here, if they're going to bring him up earlier than later, he can latch on to one of those jobs. I think they really want to give Leahy a spot in that rotation. Yeah. I think they're really excited about that, as you know. So I don't know. I mean, depending on who the pitcher is and how much the pitcher costs, whether it comes in a free agent signing or a trade, I would always welcome a veteran starting pitcher because I think if nothing else, you could flip the pitcher at the deadline, maybe collect some prospects. I don't know. I get your point. I'm not disagreeing with you. I just don't, you know, I think that after last season, the Cardinals are probably overdue to have a rut of pitching injuries, starting pitching injuries.
Yeah.
Hopefully nothing catastrophic, but I'm just saying. Or maybe they want to have a situation where – you know, they'll back off Dustin May a little bit, maybe skip a start here and there just to make sure to keep him fresh. Liberatore, same thing. You know, it would give Ollie Marmol and Dusty Blake more flexibility to be able to protect their starting pitchers better by giving them some blows during the season. I don't know. I'm spitballing.
The couple things come to my mind as well. If they are not convinced that Quinn Matthews is going to be ready right at the start of the season, and you want to slow play Matthews a little bit, and you also have Doyle walk in the door later, it's a great opportunity to have those guys' spots filled by these veterans with the idea that you might be trading them at the deadline, especially if you're not in contention.
Yeah, that's right. And so that would just give them more ways to maybe move the needle a little bit in collecting prospects. And the other thing they could do is, because we don't know what exactly they're asking for when they talk to teams about Brendan Donovan and the others, but maybe there's a way for them to try to get a soon to be ready. Pardon me. I'm sorry.
God,
I don't have
you.
A sneeze button. I don't have a sneeze button. No, but anyway, no, the you know, maybe their plans are to try to get a back end starter that another team's willing to give up to get Brendan Donovan or something like that. So I do believe you can never have enough pitching. I really do. So we'll see.
Forgive me for going down the path that I'm about to go down, Bernie.
Uh-oh.
If they bring in another veteran starting pitcher, like, to me, that starting rotation looks like a pretty legit rotation. I actually think it's better than last year. You don't have the high end with Sonny Gray, but from top to bottom, it's a better rotation because you don't have Fetty, you don't have Michaelis, you probably don't have Pallante in that situation. He's probably one of the guys who ends up getting bumped out. We heard Bloom say yesterday in the press conference that, you know, they're bringing in Dustin May to help this team win games. Is there any chance in the world that internally they think this team might just be a little bit better this upcoming year than people are giving them credit for?
Yeah, I do. I mean, and then again, we're talking a little bit better. I think what that means, though, for context, I think that how I take it to mean is they're aware of all of the rebuilding talk, doom and gloom. So I think they feel they'll be more competitive than that. But that, you know, that's kind of easy for them to say. But as we sit here today, other than trading Sonny Gray, you know, they pretty much have and signing Dustin May. So that's kind of all, in a way, that's swapping those two plus Richard Fitz getting in there somewhere. I mean, they have the same team right now. So, I mean, yeah. I don't, you know, so my point is, like, I think when they go to spring training, you and me and everyone will have a much better idea about what to expect. Because it depends on how many players they subtract from this roster in trades. Or maybe they don't make as many trades as we think. I mean, I don't know. It's a really good question. But I think I don't blame them for being optimistic, say, for example, on Jordan Walker and Nolan Gorman. They're not naive, but I think this is a really smart group. There's a lot of new brains in the organization, and they think they have a good chance to get those guys going. So maybe they're counting on some things to happen. It could be fool's gold, but maybe they have a quiet confidence they can turn some of these guys around and that they can make Libitor better. Maybe they can make Pallante better. I mean, you know, a lot of it is based, I think, on their own confidence and what they're capable of doing from an instructional coaching standpoint through analytics and all of that.
And depending on who they trade, Bernie, they're going to have to find, even if it's short-term replacements for those guys. And it's easy with Brendan Donovan, it's easy because J.J. Weatherholt walks through that door. But if they move on from Wilson Contreras, maybe Burleson goes over to first, but you're still missing that right-handed bat that's got some thump to it. That doesn't exist. If they move on from some other, like, I'm going to be really curious to see, especially as the market continues to move and some of those options that may have been out there previously to be short-term stopgaps to replace some of these guys, they may get traded. I'm very curious to see what it might end up really looking like as some of those players do end up getting moved.
Right. If you remove Donovan in a trade and you remove Contreras in a trade, you can just almost leave it at those two guys, but, you know, maybe Newt Bar, but I think that'll happen during the season. You know, Arenado, I hate to say this, but that's an afterthought because, you know, you're not going to get anything in return. But you know, you take Contreras out of that lineup, and you know, you're subtracting, if you trade him, you know, one of the top 10 right-handed hitters in baseball the last 3 years, you know, they're not exactly overly populated with great right-handed bats here in St. Louis. So, you know, the challenge is can the rotation be better for them to be better? All right, here's a way to frame it. For them to be better, the starting rotation this season is going to have to be certainly better than last year's rotation, which ranked 25th in starting pitching ERA and was 28th in win probability added, a metric that I really like. So that group is going to have to take a big jump up, and that's without Sonny Gray, right? And then you look at their offense, which as it stands right now, you know, the offense was way, way down there on runs scored. It was way, way down there in home runs. I think next to last or 28th in home runs. Slugging percentage way down. So other than maybe some internal improvement, I'm not sure what they're basing their outlook on in terms of what they have right now, that it could be measurably better than what we saw last year when it was a lineup with no power, little power, and a starting rotation that was not just mediocre, it was bad, you know, and that's with Sonny Gray in it.
And I'm with you that I have great confidence in this organization and the people that they are bringing in this organization to help guys get better. But if we're sitting here in a spot saying the club's opportunity to be a better club this year is based upon the idea of Jordan Walker and Nolan Gorman taking steps forward, Bernie, that's a hope and a prayer. Like we can say that there's that possibility because of the people that are in place, but to count on that, I think, can largely be fool's gold.
Well, that's right. You can't count on it. That's the thing. There is no way to count on it. I mean, we all can dream a little bit, or they can dream, because they're the ones that seem to think that they can turn these guys around. Maybe they can. But you can't, like, when you're writing down your notes of analyzing the Cardinals, you can't, like, write down Walker and Gorman and put a big check mark next. You can't do that. There's just no way. And by the way, who's the innings eater going to be? If, you know, that's the other thing. I'm looking at the list of free agent starting pitchers. I mean, Chris Bassitt would be an innings eater, but I'm sure there's a lot of teams that are going to want him before the off season. I look at the Fangraphs roster resources, and at least the projection is that he'll get 2 years and $36 million. Are they going to pay for that? I doubt it.
No.
Zach Littell, again, that's about a $14 million a year guy, 2 years on that. So I don't know where the innings eater is going to come from. A guy that I like that I think you can get at a reasonable price is Jose Quintana.
Yeah.
Maybe that's one name. I see some people out there that apparently are inhaling, you know, some type of household cleaning products. You know, I've seen a couple of people say, oh, you know, Marcus Stroman's a great fit for the car. What? First of all, he's terrible, and second of all, he quit on the Yankees last year. Oh my gosh, that is the dream guy you want to put with those young pitchers to show them how to be professionals. So I say this to all my friends. I know we all have to produce content. I do. I struggle to come up with stuff. But put down the household cleaning products, step away from the laptop, and quit writing these things that appear that they're born out of some hallucination. Marcus Stroman. I mean, why even write that? I don't get it, right?
Quintana's the guy who makes the most sense of everybody.
Exactly. Yeah.
And he's had success in St. Louis. Like, there's a lot of things about Quintana that I think are – he's comfortable in the NL Central for sure. Like, there's just a bunch of things there.
You know, and the other thing too, since I'm going to be crabby here for a second, I'm sorry. It continues to come up. Max Scherzer, he could finish his career in his hometown, you know, perfect circle. And first of all, Max Scherzer hasn't lived in St. Louis for a long, long, long time. His wife and kids and they live in Florida in the offseason. And Max Scherzer's parents moved to Florida a few years ago. I mean, it's his hometown, yes, but he doesn't have any time of presence or relationship with St. Louis. And the other thing, this applies to Justin Verlander. I don't know why people would think the two guys that are in their early 40s would want to sign on for a rebuild when there'll be a spot for them with a contending team or a team on the verge of contention. And that's where they're going to go because they want to get another chance to go for a ring, not to join a rebuild. So let's cross those are two names that absolutely should be crossed off the list. But I don't know where the innings eater's coming from. I don't. So that's the thing that intrigued me when he said innings eater. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. By the way, Shane Baz, I guess, ends up in Baltimore. I want to see, I have the terms on this one. I'm curious. I'm trying to look this up, Rook.
Yeah, I don't know.
So the Orioles are acquiring Shane Baz for Slater Brun, Caden Bodine, right-hander Michael Ford. Wow, that's there's a competitive balance pick. That's a lot that's being given up for Shane Baz.
It seems that way. You know, I thought he was really, really good earlier in his career. And I know Chaim Bloom had a big role in acquiring him for Tampa Bay. But, yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure about that. The Orioles seem to, other than Pete Alonso, and then they made that they signed Corbin Burnes a couple years ago, but he was a walk-year guy. So they're only going to have him 1 year. You know, the Orioles, they come from the recent Cardinals school of like half-measure steps instead of going all in. I mean, the Orioles need to go all in on a stud starting pitcher. Not a half measure guy, you know? Yeah.
No, you're right. You're 100% right.
Someone who you know, grew up watching that team and is currently really frustrated by that team, I don't get it. But I also want to note that Mike Elias, their general manager, he was schooled in the Cardinals organization by John Mozeliak. So there you go.
That's Bernie Miklas. I'm Matt Pauly. We've got a lot more coming up, including a conversation at 12:30 with our friend Danny Wexelman. Don't go anywhere. We've got more coming up in just a moment. This is the Gas House Gang on KMOX. It is the Gas House Gang right here on KMOX. Welcome back in alongside of Bernie Miklas. I'm Matt Pauly. Great to have you with us today. We take you until 1 o'clock. A couple shameless plugs on what's coming up the rest of the day here on KMOX. When we get done, it's the Dave Glover Show. It's one of the most special shows that they do every year because they are going to be broadcasting live from the Hardee's in St. Charles just down the road from Mid Rivers. It's part of their deal that they do with Operation Food Search. It is incredible the impact that they have on people with what they do every single year working with Hardee's. So stop on by. You can donate a little bit of money there. You can get a good lunch. But I always am just so impressed by what the Dave Glover Show is able to do when it comes to the work that they do with Operation Food Search. Bernie and I will be back for Rush Hour Sports tonight at 5 o'clock. Tonight during the countdown to opening day show from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock, not only will we have a one-on-one conversation with new Cardinals pitcher Dustin May, but we're also going to have an extended conversation with new Cardinals Senior Director of International Scouting, Jacob Buffa. He is going to be with us. We talked to him for a good 30-plus minutes about where the team can go from an international scouting standpoint. So basically what I'm telling you is keep your radio locked in, your smart speaker locked in, your phone locked in to KMOX for a long time here moving forward. Again, alongside of Bernie Miklas, I'm Matt Pauly. Bernie, we're going to kind of jump back and forth between baseball and college football because we've got Danny Wexelman in a few minutes. But we found out that Bo Prabula transferring out from Missouri, so he's not going to be participating in the bowl game. Matt Zollers is going to be the starting quarterback. And it just kind of presents this, it's not like an end-of-the-world thing. Zollers was probably going to be the guy moving forward. There's a lot more upside. But certainly, it's in what was a what-could-have-been season for Missouri, it's another opportunity to do the what-could-have-been if Prabula would have been better. What if Sam Horn would have won that job out of camp, a guy who's actually a better passer than Prabula, and then he wouldn't have been in that wacky situation where he got injured? It's just kind of a chance to reflect upon what ended up being a little bit of a disappointing season for Mizzou.
Well, I actually thought the quarterback position was really disappointing because we all can agree that Mizzou had a really good cast of receivers, really good. Plus, they had a running game that was outstanding.
Yeah.
And when you have a great running game that led by not one but two excellent backs in Hardee and Roberts, that should make it much easier for you to throw the ball downfield. Their passing attack was terrible. I mean, and that's not an opinion. It's a fact. I mean, I do the numbers that if you just look at SEC games only, Mizzou was factually the worst passing offense in the conference, in conference play. If you put it on a list of all the FBS teams or just the 68 power conference teams, I did some numbers on that. There's 68 of them. And in so many of the rankings in various categories, the Mizzou passing game was in the 50s or like 48th. You know, they were way down there near the bottom. So once they got into some of the really important SEC games, you know, Bo Prabula, who I enjoyed watching him play and I liked him, he was a competitor, but a lot of interceptions, a lot of mistakes, a lot of missed targets, and they just simply could not do much in the air throwing passes that traveled at least 20 yards. Zollers did give them that. He did give them that, but, you know, it was a little tough assignment against somebody like Texas A&M. But, no, I thought their you give them a better passing attack, they would have beat Alabama. I really mean that. It was a three-point game.
Yeah.
But Prabula threw two interceptions, including the one on the final possession where they could have, you know, could have gone down the field to tie it or win it. They would have won the Vanderbilt game with a good passing attack from the beginning. You know, I don't mean this to cheap shot Prabula. It's nothing personal. What the heck? I mean, it's obviously nothing personal because he came to Mizzou from another place and he's leaving Mizzou to go to another place, which he should if that's best for him. But it's nothing personal. He just wasn't very good, and their passing attack suffered.
That's Bernie Miklas. I'm Matt Pauly. Danny Wexelman joins us next. It's the Gas House Gang on KMOX.
Just want to reiterate our excitement that Dustin May has decided to join us and become a Cardinal.
Very happy to be with St. Louis. I'm just thrilled to have the opportunity to put the Cardinals uniform on and go out every fifth day and compete.
That was Heim Bloom and then Dustin May, part of a news conference yesterday. You'll hear more from Dustin May coming up tonight during the Countdown to Opening Day show. I've got a one-on-one interview with him. That's going to be coming up between 6 o'clock and 8 o'clock. Alongside of Bernie Miklas, I'm Matt Pauly. We are so happy to be able to welcome onto the program. She is one of our absolute favorite people. I was going to say absolute favorite people to talk baseball with, but I don't need to put in a qualifier on. She's just one of our favorite people. She is Danny Wexelman, part of the team at ESPN, also MLB Network Radio on SiriusXM. Him. She is a St. Louisan. Danny, great to talk to you. How are you?
Oh, my gosh. What's up, my guys? I am always happy to talk ball. I'm always happy just to talk, period, to your point. And happy holidays to you guys. Thanks for having me on.
Danny, Bernie, great to have you back. Thanks for doing an encore
with this
on the Gas House Gang. So, well, what are you doing? I'm asking this because you mentioned the holiday, and I know you work. So what do you got going into Christmas week and going after that? Do you have any time off at all, or are you just going to continue to be a busy bee?
You know what? You guys are my last official work-type business for about a week, I would say. I had a morning show today for MLB Network Radio. I filled in on the leadoff spot, and I'm chatting with you guys, and then I'm actually flying back to St. Louis tomorrow. So I'm headed home for the holidays and excited to catch up with a lot of friends that I haven't seen all year and see my family, of course, and have some downtime. There's a couple things that I'll be taking care of, but you can bet that I'm going to be turning off. I actually just deleted Instagram off my phone, and I'm taking a nice little break after this, guys.
Excellent.
What's the food or the restaurant? You can give a free plug for them. When you come back to St. Louis, what's the place that you have to visit before leaving town?
Oh, my gosh. That's so great. I have a couple. Yaya's in Chesterfield is my all-time favorite. Yep. My mom is out there in West County, and I absolutely love Mediterranean food. So I'm always at Yaya's at least once. There's always an Emo's pizza that's ordered. And it's usually at the end of my trip when we're not cooking anymore. And then I will say, like, off the beaten path, one of my favorite places that I don't get to nearly enough because it's a bit farther from where my mom's at is Culpepper's. Culpepper's in St. Louis was like the place we went to after my softball tournaments, and they have by far the best wings and salad I've ever had in my life. And it's a little untraditional for St. Louis, but you know, I also haven't lived in St. Louis for 12 years now. So those are some of my highlight places. I appreciate you asking.
Well, great calls on all of those things. Hey, I wanted to ask you, you know, you keep an eye on all of Major League Baseball, plus you got the St. Louis blood in you. So what did you think of the Dustin May signing?
Yeah, I love it. I love Dustin May. I think that we haven't even seen the full potential of what Dustin May can be in his career because he has dealt with so many injuries, which I know you guys have detailed thoroughly. And I can't wait to hear that interview that you guys have with him. I think, first of all, coming up in the Dodgers organization, you know, this guy has prepared. He's been developed. He has great tools and skills. And if the Dodgers thought that highly of him to draft him, then you have to kind of know that he's a high makeup guy, right? High character guy. He's a former third round pick. And I think that he just has dealt with so many things. We just haven't had a chance to fully see him. I think in 2025, we saw a little bit more of that. He made 23 starts. The ERA closer to 5, which you don't love. But again, for me, somebody who's developed in an organization that is such highly touted, back-to-back World Series champions, I like Dustin May a lot. There's a lot to like about him. And I think what's kind of fascinating, he's probably learned a lot from his injuries just on the human side. And the Cardinals taking a chance on him, I think he fits perfectly with the culture, with the character, with the group of guys. And it's such a low-risk situation, and he's betting on himself. And I often feel when guys take deals like this, a one-year type situation, they have nothing to lose, and their performance almost always skyrockets because they want to make more money on the other end of this situation. And so they often outkick their coverage, I like to say. And so I expect Dustin May to play a large role in what St. Louis does this coming season.
Danny, that esophagus injury he had is scary. It almost killed him.
Yeah.
It was a piece of lettuce that got stuck in his throat, and then he drank water, and his esophagus basically exploded, for lack of medical terms. You go through that, and you have a near-death experience where the last thing on your list of things to do is play baseball. I do think there is some perspective that comes along with that might actually help him moving forward.
Anytime a guy is going through something, and there are so many guys in this league, you know, not only physical health, but mental health. And I think that you often hear stories of resilience. And this is, I mean, that is horrifying. I can't even imagine. I remember when this happened, and it's such a freak accident. But again, I just go back to the caliber of player that the Dodgers are drafting. And it's very similar to what the Cardinals are looking for in that body of work and the makeup and the tools that this guy has. He's had these experiences, but I guarantee you he comes into this season, he's got incredible support around him. He's got the Cardinal staff around him. And it's, I think for me, again, lower stakes, right? The Cardinals are obviously retooling, and they're, you know, getting a facelift, so to speak, right now, and going through some growing pains. And so for a guy like him to have the resiliency and the perspective and also the hunger, this guy is hungry to prove who he can be, because he truly just hasn't shown it. We haven't seen it because of the injuries. And I would love to see Dustin May healthy full season and really give guys a run for their money.
Yeah, I'm with you, Danny. The one thing I wrote a column Monday where I actually talked about that incredible medical scare. It was a crisis with the torn esophagus. And when in doing my research on that, you know, he lost 45 pounds because he was in the hospital for two and a half weeks, couldn't eat. He lost 45 pounds, but even then he had to take it really easy. He couldn't get in the gym and do any weights other than maybe the light 10 pounds only. He couldn't really do any throwing. And so when he got to spring training last year, I mean, he was still maybe 25 pounds less than he needed to be, and he didn't have any strength. Like, his strength wasn't close. And I made the point that, you know, don't look at the ERA. The problem is the guy was literally weakened physically. And I checked numbers where it showed you, like, the first time through a lineup, he was good. Second time, he's running out of gas. Third time, it was batting practice. He didn't have the stamina. And it's not because he's a bad pitcher. It's because he was a guy that nearly died in an emergency and had to completely rebuild his weight and his strength.
And that's the entire point, right? Like the details and the storytelling that you're providing the context to Dustin May, right? The signing, I think on the outside may look a little confusing. You're like, why would we give this guy a chance? Why are we giving him this amount of money when we're trying to bulk up right now? But that's the whole point, is that he wasn't his full strength. And to your point, Bernie, there's something that's shifting in our sport when it comes to ERA, semi-similar to the win-loss column, right? We're not really paying attention to a pitcher's wins and losses per se, but is it important to have a pitcher who can go out and put up a zero after your team scores or put up a zero after the other team scores? Yes. Is it important to have a guy who's able to prevent runs? Yes. But ERA is becoming a little less punctuated. I think it's a compliment to the stuff, right? And this is a guy who has five different pitches. His sweeper and his sinker is what lead the way, right? His sweeper is going outside to batters. His sinker is going inside. And I think that those are the things that you're paying a little more attention to, is what you're talking about, Bernie. It's the other stuff. It's the things that he's going to bring to the table and allow the Cardinals to make him better at, right? They will find his strengths, and they will make sure his strengths are utilized and put into practice. And they'll make sure that his health and that he's adding weight and that he's building stamina, and they're putting him in a situation to succeed, which is why I think this deal is so beneficial for both sides. Like, the Cardinals obviously need guys to come in and eat innings, right? Sonny Gray traded away. That's not surprising at all. There's expected to be more moves that are made. Not surprising at all. They finished 25th in ERA for their starting pitchers. They just gave up a ton of hits, right? Of every team in the league, they give up the second most hits. That's unacceptable. They just need a guy to go in and eat innings and get some stops and throw up some zeros. Like, that's just a great place to start. And Dustin May is a great person to start with.
Just a couple more minutes with Dani Wexelman. Her holiday vacation begins as soon as she stops talking to us, so we won't keep her too terribly much longer.
No, but, you're fine.
The news of the day, Shane Baz gets traded. He goes to a gaggle of guys and a draft pick going back. What's your initial reaction to the return for somebody like him?
Oh, my God, you guys. I literally was just, like, in my own world. And, you know, you Matt had texted me to get ready for the show, and I was like, yes. And I popped over on Twitter and saw that. I just saw it. So my initial reaction is, wow. Like, I mean, I am the first to admit that I have criticized Baltimore pretty heavily over the past few seasons. And honestly, I think that there's some validation to it, because they have the resources, they have the money, they have a new ownership group, they have an incredible general manager in Mike Elias, and one of the best farm systems in the league, and they've really done nothing with it for the past few years. It's been almost wasted in my eyes. And finally, in this offseason, not only do they get Ryan Helsley and they bring in their closer, they make a massive trade like this, which I think is exceptional. They have added such incredible pieces to what they're doing. I'm just so wildly impressed. They traded with the Angels to get Taylor Ward. This is a big deal. Shane Baz is a bona fide pitcher. Right now he's in the back end, but this is a guy, 31 starts last season. He's only 26 years old, and I think the sky's the limit. If Tampa Bay has a pitcher and they let him go, sometimes you wonder, why are we letting that guy go? But they got a massive haul back, and so I think it's a pretty fair trade, to be honest. Baltimore drafted two catchers last year in the first round, both of whom I covered in college. Ike Irish was out of Auburn, and Caden Bodine is an exceptional switch-hitting catcher who will fit perfectly. So Bodine headed down to Tampa. Slater DeBrun was a high school pick in their competitive balance round. A lot of picks that I think are going to help Tampa Bay, and they needed guys like that, but Baltimore just got a lot more dangerous. So if you're looking at the American League East, this is a team who was embarrassingly bad last year and finished in last place. To me right now, they've done more than the Yankees. They've done more than the Red Sox, and they've done more than the Rays. They're looking like a second place team, a wild card team to me. So it's a huge deal for them to acquire an arm like Shane Baz.
She is Dani Wexelman. She is a St. Louis, and you see her with ESPN, MLB Network Radio, and Sirius XM. Have a wonderful holiday vacation. Aww. Enjoy St. Louis, and we will talk to you at some point in the new year. But thanks so much for your time.
You guys are amazing, both of you. I appreciate you for having me and for giving me opportunities to talk ball, especially in St. Louis, where I know I have friends and family who tune in. So thank you so much. I can't wait for 2026 with you guys, and I hope you enjoy your family and your friends over the holiday season.
Thank you, Danny. Awesome. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
That's Danny Wexelman joining us. Real quick, Bernie, something she said that, we'll do a little college football, but I want to react to something she said. We'll do that on the other side of the break.
Sure.
The way we evaluate pitching in Major League Baseball, I think it's an interesting conversation. We'll do that coming up in just a moment. It is the Gas House Gang on KMOX.
Now, back to the Gas House Gang, sponsored by Saliga Heating and Cooling on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Just a few minutes left on this edition of the program alongside of Bernie Miklas. I'm Matt Pauly. It's going to be the Dave Glover Show up next. A reminder there, broadcasting live at Hardee's there just down the way from Mid Rivers. And today's the Operation Food Search Day. So if you're looking for a place to go get a bite to eat, stop by and see them. Bernie and I will be back during the 5 o'clock hour for Rush Hour Sports. Bernie, I initially kind of had this segment out for looking ahead to the college football playoff. We'll do that in the 5 o'clock hour.
Sure.
Because I want to react to something that Danny said that I thought was interesting, because she said we're changing the way we view ERA in baseball. And it goes back to actually something that you jumped on very quickly after the May stuff with the Cardinals, where you looked at how much of his 5 ERA was impacted by a small percentage of blow-up starts. And as I move forward in how I evaluate baseball players and specifically starting pitchers, if there was like a quality start percentage, I think that's what I would be most interested in. How often does a starting pitcher give your team a legitimate chance to win a game? And in the games that they don't, whether they give up 5 runs or 10 runs, I don't care. It's how often, what percentage of time they're giving you a chance to win.
Yeah, because they're all going to get blown up a few times a year. Like last year, Sonny Gray got blown up 7 times. Dustin May got blown up 6 times. And you know, it's easy to look at the baseball card number. It's easy to look at like his 4.96 ERA. But after doing a lot of reading on just how traumatic that torn esophagus was, and how much weight he lost, and how long he was just physically inactive, a doctor's orders, and he didn't have the stamina, he didn't have the physical strength, he wasn't anywhere near, 100%, he was pitching at a just greatly reduced level. So you can look at the 4.96. I looked at the fact that 17 of his 23 starts, and those 17 starts, he had a 3.30 ERA, which actually amazes me considering how weak he was physically. And the other thing, and I'll be really quick, this just shows what I'm talking about in terms of the guy was not built up physically yet after losing all that weight, and he had no stamina. In his first time through a lineup last year, a 3.25 ERA, 25% strikeout rate. Second time through, 4.74 ERA, the strikeout rate dropped to 20. Third time through, 7.89 ERA, and you know what the strikeout rate was? 17%. That's a guy running out of gas because he didn't have the physical stamina. And you can't evaluate Dustin May unless you take all of that into heavy consideration, because it's legit. We're not making an excuse. This was a legit reason, the fact that he could not endure and hold his stamina in starts. And there was a very big reason why that was the case. He almost died. That would be, I think, a legitimate reason.
We only have about a minute to go, so we probably can't go as deep on this as I'd like. But the other thing is, it's pretty impressive that he had a sub-3.5 ERA in those 17 of his 23, whatever main starts was, when one of his best pitches, his sinker, got rocked last year. When his sinker is working and he can go sinker sweeper, that's a great 1-2 tandem for your top two pitches. His sinker wasn't any good last year. He fixes that thing this year. He's a different guy.
And I'll throw this in. I'm confident that the Cardinals are confident. They studied him, Pierpont and all those guys. They saw the sinker. They saw the sinker with this great side to side horizontal movement. The thing moved great. But hitters were killing it. I'm really confident they have a fix and a way to get better results out of that pitch. That's why That's why Pierpont was brought in and why they brought on these other analysts.
That's Bernie Miklas. I'm Matt Pauly. Bernie, we'll do this again during the 5 o'clock hour, a very special edition of the Dave Glover Show from Hardee's in St. Charles with Operation Food Search. That's on the way after the 1 o'clock news right here on KMOX.